This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing what we have agreed, my panelists, that this is Mediation 101, folks. So we're going to talk about how to settle disputes without going to court. This will include if you haven't yet filed a lawsuit, but also if you have filed a lawsuit. My guests are Carol Kahn, Director of Public Service Programs, the Lawyer Referral and Information Service, and the Alternative Dispute Resolution Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Attorney Mediator Gabriel Bellman, and Mediator Arbitrator Steve Schrey. Did I get that right, Schrey?
It's Schrey.
Schrey.
Thanks, Chuck.
You keep correcting me, Steve.
It's okay.
When you do. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And everybody, this is our normal Call a Lawyer night, and I want to give you the number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We should have criminal law, landlord-tenant, tax law, real estate, patent law, and if you have a workers' compensation law question, Alice O'Sullivan will take calls between now and 9 p.m. tonight, which is June 22nd, at 510-333-3314, 510-333-3314. Carol, would you do this, please? Tell us something about the San Francisco Bar's Alternative Dispute Resolution Program. Just kind of a brief outline.
Sure. So the Alternative Dispute Resolution Program at the Bar Association has been around for over a decade, and by that I mean specifically its Mediation Services Program. And it's one of the ways that people can look to resolve disputes, resolve difficulties they're having with another person or an entity. Again, we'll get into exactly all of what mediation is, but it is an alternative to a court process. Through the Bar Association of San Francisco's mediation program, there are 30 different practice areas that the mediators fall into. They are certified mediators, which means that they have received certification training in mediation.
Certified by what agency? The San Francisco Bar or what?
Well, actually, that they've attended a training, certificate training that's generally 40-plus hours.
I see.
From there, and in addition to that, they've handled a number of mediations. And behind that, too, is generally an average of 30 years' experience as a lawyer. So these particular mediators through the Bar Association are very well qualified and well versed in not only the area of practice that they may specialize in, but of course in mediation itself. So again, that's just another available process.
And on this program that we're going to be doing, the mediation is something that is not just specific to the state of California or San Francisco. This is something that's done throughout California, is done throughout the United States. And so many of the things, everybody, that we're talking about here would apply in terms of the general principles and the approaches wherever you may be in the United States, since we are also uplinking this program to the National Public Radio satellite. And Gabriel, I wonder if you would do this. Talk about some of the disputes, generally speaking, that you deal with and that you'd like the listeners to know about.
Sure. I think what's important for people to keep in mind when they're thinking about either mediation or litigation is just that solving problems is an art form. It's something that's it's actually a mindset that is not maybe common in American culture. There's a sense that going to war, going to battle, and prevailing is a way to solve problems, and sort of mediation takes that and sort of looks at it from a global perspective, where, and as a litigator myself, having litigated many cases, there's lots of situations that don't lend themselves well to sort of a good outcome in litigation. Essentially, we have to live with each other, and so what does it look like to win a case with somebody that you still have to live with? And so, of course, family law issues with neighbors, community, what we're seeing a lot in American society, as opposed to different cultures around the world who have used alternative dispute resolution, is that American culture particularly tends to look for the winner and loser. And I think people don't realize that there are other methods out there that have been used successfully And I think this rise in ADR and mediation particularly is because of the efficacy worldwide in these other issues. I mean, a lot of cultures, like Japanese culture, for example, they look at litigation as a failure. And so in their...
It can be very expensive.
Can be expensive, but it's also looked at as a one way to look at litigation is that you have been unable to solve your problems. And of course, if you're talking about a class action lawsuit where you need a company to stop a practice which is discriminating against somebody, if you need to make a systemic change which has been needed in civil rights and is needed in some of the corporate practices, then certainly litigation is probably the most effective if you're not trying to win your own personal dispute. But for parties involved in finding a place where they can actually live with them with each other after the dispute is resolved, those sort of workplace issues, family issues, community issues, we see in our practice that having people come to their own solutions actually has a more long-term success rate than a court-ordered solution.
Steve, how about you? Initial comments do you have?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand, particularly if you don't engage in mediation, and a lot of people don't. I deal in my practice with a lot of people, businesses as well as individuals, who've never been through a mediation. And mediation is described a lot of different ways, but it's basically a voluntary process where you have a neutral person, in my case, or Gabriel's case, a mediator, who is a facilitator to try to get the parties to deal with the dispute.
What do you mean by, for those of us who don't know much about mediation, what do you mean by a facilitator?
A facilitator is someone that basically tries to understand what the parties are saying, tries to listen carefully, tries to help them perhaps understand, and doesn't always work, trust me, what the other side is really unhappy about, what's really driving them. And the idea of facilitation is basically to help the parties perhaps see a way to resolve the case. If they could do it without a mediator, a lot of times they do. And I never see the case. Gabriel doesn't see the case. But if people are having difficulties, whether it's in a court-related matter or pre-litigation, when it's not in court, many times they need someone who can say, do you realize what you're fighting over? And many times that's what I wind up doing, whether it's a big company or an individual with a fight over a neighbor over the property line. I mean, the world is full of disputes, as Gabriel mentioned,
in a dispute are certainly biased in terms of what they believe. Either they've been wronged or I'm being accused of wronging someone. And you as a neutral, the mediator as a neutral facilitator, is not biased. You're trying to make some sense for these people.
We may have our personal biases we never get rid of, Chuck, but we are neutral. We certainly, in the sense, we don't have a dog in the fight, to use the cliche.
I think one of the other really key components around what defines a mediator and a facilitator is they're very highly skilled in communication, and they know how to bring out communication between the parties so that they start talking to one another, as opposed to just looking to the facilitator only for the communication.
That's right.
And Gabriel here, I one thing that you said also, Chuck, about you want someone who's more neutral. So as a mediator, what's really important is to actually understand your biases, because as a lawyer, when I would represent somebody, I would push very hard for them to get the best possible settlement. But as a mediator, you see two parties, they might agree. I like to think of an example. If two people are sharing a ride to work and neither one of them can afford a $10,000 car, one party can afford $2,000, the other party can afford $8,000. It's not fair that one party is paying $8,000 and the other party is paying $2,000. But are both of their needs being met if they share a car? One party is paying $2,000 less, the other party is paying $2,000 more than nothing and getting a ride to work. So they're getting a better deal, but the idea is, are they both getting something of value? And that's for them to decide. And as a mediator, you kind of have to hold back on your judgment a little bit, because people tend to do all kinds of things that are not in their best interest.
One of the things that I want, Joanne Marr is our announcer operator, and she is very helpful to me in this. We are every month, everybody, wherever you may be, we do what's called Call a Lawyer Night. And we're doing that tonight. It's a monthly thing, and the number is 1-800-525-9917. We also have in the studio here a mediator, Michael Marks. If you want to talk with Michael about mediation, we'll get him over to talk to you on the phone. Alice O'Sullivan, who is a former chair of the Workers' actually the California Board of Legal Specialization, she's the Workers' Compensation Specialist. She'll take calls until 9 o'clock tonight. That's December 22nd, 510-333-3314, 510-333-2314. The call-a-lawyer number for other lawyers, or if you want to talk to Michael Marks, is 1-800-525-9917. Jeff Hayden is here. He's a specialist in criminal law. He's the vice chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. We have Frank Adam, who's a tax law, real estate law, actually also a broker of real estate. He's here. We have Ron Rohde, patent law, aviation, and lemon law. And for those of you who may be trying to survive your creditors, we have Leon Bayer tomorrow. That's Thursday, June 23rd from 8 a.m. to noon, who will take your calls on his 800 number. No obligation, by the way, whatsoever on any of these calls, and that's 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. And for those of you who are listening to the live program, in a few minutes I will give you our toll-free number and you can call in and talk with my guests about mediation if you're confronted with something. One of the things that I think is terribly important here is how does a person who's got a problem, whether that is something prior to litigation or maybe it's something in litigation, how do you find a mediator?
So,
Gabriel, if you would.
I think when people are in conflict, they tend to feel it, right? They're often really under a tremendous amount of duress. They're feeling a lot of stress. So hopefully they have a support system in their community that will allow them to sort of get the word that there are agencies out there for people. Some people can afford lawyers, and that's a great way to find mediation services. Unfortunately, a lot of lawyers aren't looking to refer cases to mediators because they are competitors for their business. So what we have in the Bay Area, for example, there's a number of nonprofits and community organizations that do dispute resolution. I'm a member of a few of those organizations. Community Boards is one. The Office of Citizens Complaints does disputes between police
officers. The Office of what?
Citizen Complaints. They resolve disputes between police officers and citizens. And then there are different...
Is that a nonprofit also?
That's a city agency, actually.
Oh, is it? All right. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, and it's and they investigate police misconduct as well. But for some of their lesser sort of offenses, something, I guess, depending on your definition of lesser, but something that is maybe just verbal word choice, where somebody feels that they've been sort of targeted by an officer for maybe like racial language, they can raise a dispute and bring the officer in, and the officer will come in with a mediator like myself and the person who has the complaint. And instead of having a formal investigation, the officer can choose to sort of face the person who's had the issue with them. And what we see in those mediations is the best part of what mediation does is that you get to actually have the root of what the dispute is about. So you can have an officer who has really very little experience dealing with people of different cultures, and then you may have a person who has had only negative encounters with a police officer, and the impact of a police officer who's under stress using like a racial epithet, which may not have been seen as the use of a racial epithet, but for somebody who's only had negative encounters with police officers, the impact of that is a continued sort of pattern of violence by police officers against them, and getting police officers to understand the ways that they impact people around them in ways that they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And there can be like tremendous moments of, you know, tears, hugging, and then there are, of course, those don't happen every time either. And there are also situations where there need to be police. I mean, there should be charges filed for misconduct. And so, but mediation can solve a good amount of problems.
Steve, let me turn to you for a moment. I know you do mediations both in the state court as well as the federal court.
That's right.
Tell us, if you would, both in both areas, if someone has a problem, whether it's the state in and looking to get perhaps a list of mediators, can you go to your local superior court in the county where you are in California?
Yes.
And if that is the case, what about the federal court? And the federal court is, of course, all over the country.
In all the courts that have an ADR or mediation program, there will be a panel of mediators such as myself who will be listed with the specialties, as Carol was mentioning. For example, the San Francisco Bar, I think she said, has over 30. And most courts have several different specialties that the mediators will be, you know, checking the box at the will. For myself, for example, I do insurance and real estate mm-hmm. business disputes. On the court panels where I serve, the federal court and the state courts that I serve on, that's someone would see my name, for example, with those specialties checked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have counsel, if you're representing yourself, of course, you're going to have to know all those rules, how to go about getting a case into mediation. But if you have counsel, that's what your lawyer will be doing, going mm-hmm. through the lists and trying to find a mediator that both sides could agree on. We haven't talked about one of the most important things about mediation, Chuck, as you know, is it's a consensual process, and it's not where someone...
Well, no one's forcing you to do it at all.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, and no one's forcing you to pick the mediator that might mm-hmm. be the neutral on your case. Both sides have to agree on that mediator, which is the beginning, as we talked before the program. That's the beginning of trying to reach agreement. You at least agree on who is going to be the neutral and try to assist the parties to resolve their dispute, whatever it may be.
Is it common that, at least your experience, Steve, that mediation involves one neutral with these parties, or can there be a couple of mediators, a couple of neutrals, facilitators?
In a very complicated case, and I've done this, sometimes there'll be what we call co-mediation.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be, for example, a large construction defect lawsuit, maybe a mm-hmm. townhouse with 50 units. And part of that dispute also includes perhaps insurance disputes between the contractor and the subcontractor's insurance companies and the contractor and the subcontractors. And that really can get in the way of trying to resolve what the homeowners want, which is to get their leaking roof fixed or
yeah,
the plumbing
right,
working.
Right, right.
So sometimes you will find that the work gets divided up between two mediators who wind up working together.
That's not that's a very complicated case, though.
Yes.
And in some of the community organizations is actually quite common. For example, the Office of Citizens Complaints Mediations, they usually have two mediators, and community boards often has three mediators as their model.
Community boards is a nonprofit organization.
They're nonprofit.
It's been around a long time.
Yeah, since the 70s, and
yeah.
they do neighbor disputes. Which we see neighbor disputes as being one of the best uses of mediation because, again, you have to live, in most cases, you have to continue living next to each other. And so litigation, in addition to being expensive, time-consuming, stressful, and many other things about it that people don't like, it also leaves one person at the end of the tunnel very angry.
Well, and that you don't want.
If you have to continue living next to each other.
That's the beauty, is it not, of mediation? If something is resolved,
people can
hopefully leave the mediation process feeling that, gee, well, that was better than going to court, spending a lot of money, and maybe not being successful.
It harkens towards a kinder, gentler time. It's almost unfathomable to imagine in these days with the political climate and the sort of the Trump ification of America to imagine a time when people could disagree and then continue about their business. These days, people who tend to disagree and then paint their opponent as somebody who's out to get them in every possible way, trying to destroy their life. And so mediation sort of takes the premise that you can have a disagreement and continue moving on, and you don't necessarily have to agree on everything to resolve your disagreement either. Like, you don't have to resolve every single issue.
I think it's important, too, to point out that one of the advantages about mediation is once there is that consent for both sides at least to come to the table, that's already a promise of hopefully further agreements.
I mean, we're moving in the right direction.
Right, and that the parties themselves have a lot of control over how that process is going to, you know, end and hopefully a resolution.
And by control, it means you don't have to do it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that if we can kind of have a meeting of the minds, mm-hmm. maybe we can resolve this. All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night. We're doing this, by the way, for those of you who may be getting this program delayed. This is Wednesday evening, June 22nd, our usual fourth Monday, or what am I saying, fourth Wednesday of the week, Call a Lawyer. 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Our topics are workers' compensation law, criminal law, landlord-tenant law, tax law, real estate law, patent law. If you want to talk to a mediator, Michael Marks is here, and he'll talk with you, too. If you want to talk about workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, I've given you that number a couple of times so far. If you're being chased by creditors, Leon Baer will be available tomorrow, and I will give you his phone number in just a few minutes. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on, actually, the abbreviation is Mediation 101. And I've got some very capable people here. If you tuned in a little bit late, Carol Kahn is the director of the Alternative Dispute Resolution Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco. I've got Gabriel Bellman, who's an attorney mediator. I've got Steve
Schrei.
Sorry, Steve.
Since kindergarten,
Schrei,
Chuck.
Mediator, arbitrator, attorney, and they're very experienced. And so for those of you who are listening to the live program on June 22nd, in a few minutes you'll be able to call in and talk with them on the air, actually. Mediation is confidential, though. I mean, I can say something in a mediation, and I'm not going to be it's not going to haunt me if we don't settle the mediation and actually have to go to court.
Yeah, this is Steve speaking. And, you know, that is one of the most important things that I always stress when I explain mediation to people who are new to the process, that it is confidential by law and by case law in our state and in other states as well and in the federal system as well. That gives what I call a bubble of peace. It gives
a bubble of peace.
A zone of quiet, because you're in usually a conference room or two conference rooms, depending on whether you're together or in separate discussions. And there's no jury there. There's no record being made. There's no report being made by the mediator to a judge saying this is what was said, this is what people are doing. And that's one of the hallmarks of mediation. It is a place for people to be candid with themselves. The mediator can be candid, although as mediators we have to kind of listen and not certainly try to impose any views of the case on the parties. But that is a very important thing, because what happens is if somebody says something in candor, like, Chuck, I'm sorry that I hit you mm-hmm. with my car, and I say that during the mediation, if that doesn't come out somehow outside the mediation, that can't be used. That statement stays, if you will, in the mediation. And that's a very important aspect of mediation that I sometimes think people who may not be familiar with it may not be aware of that. And the courts are very jealous of protecting that confidentiality. If somebody tries to use something that was said during the mediation, it's not allowed.
But that really shows the beauty of mediation. If you can say something that you feel, whether you blurt it out or you intentionally do it or whatever, but feel you can do this and it's not going to haunt you
right.
in court should there be a litigation, that's what makes people start to feel more comfortable, it would seem to me, in terms of resolving this with the other party or the business or whatever it may be.
There are mediations that are done in courthouses. Perhaps, you know, sometimes the mediator will use a jury, an empty jury room. But most mediations are done in conference rooms, in offices, either, say, at the San Francisco Bar facility or mm-hmm. in a law firm's offices or wherever, some of the services that provide mediations. And parties are in a conference room. There's no court reporter. There's no judge. There's no jury. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's confidential. And the parties can spend the time that they need with the mediator to talk about the case and listen to what the mediator might have to say.
If the mediator has been, or the neutral, the facilitator, or facilitators, however complicated the case may be, if there has been success in bringing the parties together and there is a resolution, is there not normally in a mediation a written type of agreement or whatever, Gabriel?
So, yeah, I mean, getting back to your point about, you know, why do we have this space for mediations, I think that looking in the big picture, the reason that we have this sort of favoring by the courts of confidential rules and a number of the reasons that we actually get mediation cases is that they're ordered by the court before trial is set. They have to do a court-ordered mediation. And there's just a tremendous logjam in the courts right now. The courts mm-hmm. can't keep up with it. There's not funding for the courts, and there's just way too many cases. And so in order to try to fight back against that, the judicial process has sort of favored laws protecting evidence around mediations. And so we want people to resolve their issues without court, because we want to save the issues for court that can't be resolved mm-hmm. in mediation. Mm-hmm. And, 99% of cases settle before they go to trial. And so those 1% of cases that can't settle, I mean, they don't have a place in mediation. But for the other 99%, they should be in mediation sooner. They should be in mediation before litigation. And we need to be sort of saving our cases that we need in court for court.
Well, certainly in California, if you file a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, it's going to be at the earliest many months before you get
You're
to court.
Years.
And it may be the next year.
Usually
well over a 12-month period.
Most of my cases in private practice, I tell my clients when they decide to hire me for a case, I say, you're going to be looking at a few years probably, and you're probably going to be unhappy with the result. And that's just the case of most lawsuits. It's just it's a long process. It's stressful, and that's when you win. And by the time you win, it's been so long that the whatever was at issue is probably it's in the past now, and then it just gets brought up again through. So mediation's a much quicker. It can be resolved right away. And again, not every issue. I mean, you can't mediate issues of equality. You can't mediate like issues of basic decency. And there are sort of there's something we have to hold, companies accountable. We have to hold, people accountable for certain baseline justice issues. But, for interpersonal disputes, mediation is a great tool.
When you say, pardon me,
yeah,
go ahead, okay. Steve.
Jack, I was just going to say, following on the comments we were talking about earlier about confidentiality, and I think Gabriel was alluding to this, if the mediation is successful, there is something called a settlement agreement mm-hmm. or a term sheet. And one of the exceptions, if maybe one of the few exceptions to the mediation confidentiality rules in California and in the federal court, is if the parties sign a settlement term sheet that they say is binding and enforceable, and somebody has buyer's remorse the next day, the other side can go in and use that settlement agreement.
Look at this settlement agreement.
Yeah.
You agreed to this.
You might end up in court.
They then take it in and they get a judgment entered in state court, and there's a similar process in federal court. But that's one of the few exceptions to confidentiality when the people in the dispute finally reach an agreement.
Let me ask you this. If they reach and sign a written agreement, they reach an agreement and they sign the agreement, do they have to do it in the ADR room where the mediation is going on, or can they think about it a bit before they sign this written agreement?
Usually with lawyers involved, of course, what starts as a one-page or two-page term sheet, which is important because if both sides sign it, it's enforceable. But lawyers love to have the bells and whistles with a 10-page or 15-page legal agreement that further carries out their agreement, and that's part of the process, usually particularly in a litigated case.
So in other words, what you want to do is do the best you can if you are a party to try to be open, put your cards on the table, try to see if you can resolve this, and if there is a written agreement, make sure before you sign it that you feel really comfortable.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. It is 7:29. Believe it or not, on Wednesday, June 22nd, we're doing this live program. And if you have a question for my guests on the air, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you want to talk with any one of our lawyers, I happened to see Jeff Hayden just here for a moment ago. Jeff is a criminal law specialist. He's the vice chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. And Jeff is here for Call a Lawyer Night. We have Alice O'Sullivan, who is a certified specialist in workers' compensation law, former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. She'll take calls until 9 o'clock this evening at 510-333-3314, 510-333-3314. If you want to speak with a mediator, Michael Marks is here, and he'll be happy to talk with you. We also have on our Call a Lawyer panel for landlord-tenant law, Tad Devlin. For tax law, real estate, he's a real estate broker, Frank Adam. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. And tomorrow, Thursday, June 23rd, from 8 a.m. to noon, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. He's down in L.A. I've been very, very gracious with his time for many years in conjunction with this program. His number is 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call him and the phone is busy, leave a message. In other words, if you just get the voicemail, leave your name and phone number, tell him you were listening to Your Legal Rights, he'll call you back. And by the way, all of these attorneys are doing this as a public service. There's no obligation on your part whatsoever. Please keep that in mind, and don't worry, nobody's going to send you a bill. This is a public service of these attorneys. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and also in Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Additional funding for the program of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. So I want to encourage you, if you are thinking that you have a question either on various areas of the law or a mediation issue that you'd like to join us, please join us. The toll-free number on the air, 866-798-8255, and call a lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. We're going to start with Patrick. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
This is maybe specialized, but I bought an investment property with my brother about 16 years ago, and we never really put anything in writing in terms of, how the appreciation was going to be split up and accrued and all that kind of stuff. And I guess my question is, are there sort of real estate financial mediation investment specialists that could help us, you know, create the spreadsheet that sort of would help us sort of spell out, you know, what is equitable and fair when we go to sell the property and who gets what?
Do you have a problem, basic problem with your brother otherwise?
No, well, we don't have a problem yet, but
you're anticipating
no
there may
conflict.
Be, huh?
Yeah, but I just want to, is this, I'm just curious, is this, if it ever came to mediation, you know, I'm just wondering if there's specialists that could help us draft a spreadsheet that basically could have the experience in this space that could help us, you know, look at past.
Well, let's see. We'll start. By the way, I want to let all of you know who my guests are in case you come in a little bit late. Carol Kahn is the director of the Alternative Dispute Resolution Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Gabriel Bellman is here. He's an attorney mediator. And Steve Schrey, who's a mediator, arbitrator, attorney, is here. And Steve, you're going to take this first call for Patrick.
Patrick, I'll take a crack at it. Mediators can help you craft some sort of an agreement between you and your brother if those are the parties to this original investment agreement or vehicle. But in terms of actually coming up with spreadsheets, that might be a bridge too far for most mediators, even those who do some of that kind of LLC undocumented. I've done a few of those, and if you're still getting along with your brother, congratulations, because a lot of them are brought between former friends who decided to do an investment and then they didn't get it documented with the help perhaps of a lawyer.
Patrick, would you like to speak to a mediator this evening to perhaps get some further input other than, you know, a minute or two on the program? Would you like to do that? If so, I'll
Yeah, that'd be great.
Michael Marks will go down to our call a lawyer room. Michael, down the hallway there. You know where it is, I think. The number to call, Patrick, is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. When you call, if you want to get off the line now and call that number, ask for Michael Marks. He'll be there, and maybe he can give you some more info to kind of get you in the right direction, okay?
That's great. Perfect. Thank you so much, guys.
That'd be good. Hey, thanks for calling, Patrick. Right. Nice to hear from you. You folks out there are awful quiet. Come on now. I mean, if you're all happy and there's no problems, wonderful. But let's be practical, everybody. I don't want you calling at 7 minutes of 8 o'clock our time in California. So the toll-free number is 866-798-8255 if you want to talk with my guests on the air. If you have another problem in any one of the areas that I've mentioned earlier for call a lawyer or mediation, that's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And this is because this is call a lawyer night as well as call a mediation night, this is your opportunity once a month that we do this. We do this every month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month, when you have a chance to talk with a lawyer, no charge, no obligation whatsoever. So take advantage of it. And the fact of the matter is, if you are being chased by creditors tomorrow, Thursday, June 23rd, Leon Bayer will be available. He's a very experienced bankruptcy attorney certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. And he's available from 8 a.m. to noon, 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. Carol, if someone is listening to the program and wants to get a little bit more info with regard to the San Francisco Bar's program on alternative dispute resolution, who can that person call? So what number?
Yeah, so they should call our ADR manager, Marilyn King.
Marilyn King. All right.
And she's reached directly at 415-782-8905. And I did want to sort of follow up on the previous caller.
Please,
who has had,
if you would.
Yeah. So I think there's really some relevance there around it really is true when relationships need to, you know, sort of surpass this particular moment where there may not be an understanding. And certainly between family members, that's pretty obvious. But there are other kinds of relationships in that vein as well, obviously the custody and family law situations. But even we've seen in the school setting where a child may have some special needs and need services, and there's maybe some conflict or lack of resolution around what those accommodations should be. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not necessarily, ADR hasn't necessarily, or mediation, been a process available outside the litigation process. And so, you know, there may be other opportunities with institutions where, again, over the longer set of years, where everybody does need to come together around, say, the interests of a child over the course of that child's learning, neighbors and communities in general. Again, just a point of emphasis that, you know, when conflict strikes, it can be very distressing. And the longer it goes and the more hardened it becomes, the worse it is really over time for
the
entire community.
I think one of the problems that we have, generally speaking, when I say we, I think the average person, if you've got a conflict, for example, with your neighbor, I think it's not improbable that you don't want to talk to that person.
Certainly.
I think it's more probable you don't talk to that person, mm-hmm. and that's where the problem continues to get bigger and maybe bigger.
Yeah. I also think from the previous caller, Patrick, his scenario is actually pretty instructive. He's identified, I think smartly, he's identified a potential issue in the future. And I think when we think about disputes, we tend to think about the things that make us angry at the moment. A dispute's going to arise out of good events. I mean, he's thinking about a potential profit on a real mm-hmm. estate issue. We see this a lot in the arts when you have like musicians or people working on a creative project that actually does well, a lot of times that can lead to the downfall of the group because they can't agree on who gets credit, who gets what percentage, and then you have basically the dissolution of something at its apex. And so people who work in mediation and people who work in litigation who are doing their job properly and advocating for the best interests of their clients, what we want to do, people who work in these fields, is we want to help people achieve their goals and get through their rough patches in the best possible shape. So for someone like Patrick who wants to maintain a relationship with his brother, and so the issue is, you know, what percentage is going to make you feel like that you're properly valued? And so those percentages aren't going to have a whole lot of meaning now. In the future, when you're talking millions of dollars, that can take on a much different meaning. So coming to agreements now about things before they become sort of calcified in the sort of concrete footsteps of actual numbers, because people are very swayed by numbers. Mm-hmm. We see this with research all the time.
One of the things that occurs to me with respect to what Patrick brought up with regard, how do we set up a division of profits, et cetera, it would seem to me, and please, you know, let me know if I'm off base, what I would want to do, rather than necessarily going to a lawyer initially, maybe a real estate lawyer, I would want to perhaps contact a certified public accountant who deals in obviously all kinds of probably real estate matters and tax issues, and suggest to my brother, why don't we meet with an accountant and see if an accountant can kind of give us some direction of where we might be going. What do you think of that, Steve?
If you did that, which is one of the things I was going to I thought about it, but it's an excellent point, Chuck, to suggest to Patrick, is that both he and his brother, they can retain the same accountant, so
yeah.
Someone who's skilled in real estate, finance, investment vehicles, and that person can do the spreadsheets. But that can be done as a part of a mediation.
Yes.
You could have a mediator basically saying grace, blessing everything, getting it started, and then
who does the blessing?
The mediator, and because it's part of the mediation.
We get blessed at the same time.
Exactly.
Oh, this is good. I love
Rabbi.
It.
And then you whatever professional, you know, or non you wish to assert. But the specialist, the accountant, can actually do the heavy lifting, generating the term or the, mm-hmm. the spreadsheets, it sounds like, that are yeah. that they're interested in, and make that part of the mediation, which can be confidential. Again, if things don't work out, it's nice to be able to say, well, it didn't work out, but that was in a mediation.
So that would be the spreadsheets would then be confidential.
If they were prepared for the mediation.
Okay.
Yes.
Outstanding. Miriam, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I've also got a proactive kind of question. I'm 71 years old, and of course I expect to live forever, but that may not happen. And I've got two properties that I own. One is a funky little house up in Mendocino.
Miriam, slow down. Slow down. Miriam, slow down just a little bit. Okay, you own two properties. Go ahead.
Okay, one is a little house up in Mendocino County that I'm renting out for income, and the other is in Oregon, and I will be living in it. And it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit nicer house. But in any case, I've got two houses, but three granddaughters, and they, judging by what they do on my visits over there, they may not just sit down and amicably decide to somehow share both houses and profit from them. The one in Oregon, maybe one of them will live in. I don't know. Of course, it depends on what she does when she grows up. You know, goes to college or whatever. So I wonder if there's any kind of a way to, you know, equitably distribute. And then the other part to it all is that the middle granddaughter has some a disability that may need some. She's taking some pretty expensive medication to keep her active and keep her joints open and so forth. And so she may deserve to get a little bit more than her sisters.
Miriam, so, do you have these properties in your name, or are they in trust?
No, they're in my name. So
okay.
Yeah.
In your name alone.
Yes.
And you have not seen an estate planning attorney, by the way?
No, this is just, I'm just starting to think about it.
Yeah, one of the things, I'm sure my guests will have some comments for you, but one of the things that I feel you should do, are these properties worth a fair amount of money, each of them?
Not a whole lot. I mean, property in general, but the one up in Willits is probably worth about maybe around $250,000 now. It's like it's a little tiny house. And then the one up in up in Oregon is worth, what did I pay for? I think it's about $248,000.
Are they free? Are they free and clear, or do you have mortgages on them?
The one in Willits is free and clear. The one in Oregon have a very small mortgage. It's about $77,000.
I'll tell you. Do you have a will?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Miriam, and you said how old are you?
I'm 71.
Yeah, you sound a lot younger. Frankly, you sound very.
Well, that's why you don't expect to die soon. I'm pretty active.
You sound very good. But you know, one of my suggestions is I try to get people going in the right direction to educate themselves. You live in El Sobrante. What county is that?
That's in Contra Costa.
Yeah. I would suggest this as one of the things that you might think of doing. Call the Contra Costa County Bar Association, the lawyer referral. Ask for the lawyer referral. Tell them that you have some properties, you don't have a will, that you'd like to meet at an initial consultation with an attorney who does estate planning. And sit down for half an hour. It'll probably cost you $35. And
really?
Oh, yeah. And this way you can begin to get some real idea of what you can do. The next thing that I'd like to suggest to you is if you feel that maybe you do want to have a will or a trust or whatever, want to get more formal, one of the major funders, which if you've listened to this program, is the California Board of Legal Specialization, and it can refer you to specialists in the area of estate planning. And one of the things I want you to know about is the statewide number for that is 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or you can go to the Google, if you have a computer, you can go to the internet for the State Bar of California and look for the section on legal specialists, and it'll tell you who they are, the estate planners in Contra Costa County. But that's something I want to give you some direction of what to do. But how about my guest here, Gabriel? What thoughts do you have for her?
I mean, first of all, Miriam, I hope you live forever too. And
that you're a great funder of KLW, but go ahead.
I want you to.
You might need to put
it.
That in the
I
will.
I just couldn't help it. Yeah.
So, you know, in the event that we can't find the secrets of eternal life, which I'm hoping that we can come up with some kind of...
at least in the next 20 years, right?
Yeah. Well, so I think what you've identified, Miriam, is really important... In that the potential for disputes, and I think we've seen it. We saw in the previous caller as well. Families, you know, the family is one of the areas that you can pretty much bank on there being conflict, and it's really the lifelong sort of long term relationships are the ones with the most conflict. Whether it's neighbors, whether it's family, it's just because there's so much built into it emotionally.
Right. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
You mentioned the potential for your granddaughters potentially to have a dispute and that sort of unknown entity there and being concerned about that. I think is your heart is in the right place. I think what Chuck mentioned, talking to a estate planner, I mean, that's, I think, the appropriate venue for this concern is to talk to somebody about that.
Steve, your thoughts?
I agree.
Steve agrees with that. So I want you to, when you feel comfortable with it, Miriam, call, you know, at your convenience during normal business hours, the Contra Costa County Bar Association. Ask to speak to someone in lawyer referral. Tell them basically what you're looking for, and they'll find someone for you who has experience in estate planning. And start with a half an hour consultation and see what you think, and then think about it. And if you really think you want to be very formal, my recommendation, frankly, is to go to the State Bar of California, the California Board of Legal Specialization, find out who in your county are the certified specialists in estate planning, trust, and probate law, and call and see what are you going to charge me if I come in for an initial consultation, and take it from there.
Okay, that's and I might even just use Berkeley because, you know, it's a city with a lot more going on, and it's only about half an hour away from me.
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah, and I'll give you, by the way, and Carol's going to say something in a minute. Do you want to jot down the Alameda County Bar Association?
sure.
Yeah, because that ask them in their lawyer referral service to have an appointment with an estate planning attorney. That number is 510-302-2222. 510-302-2222. And Carol is going
to
talk.
Yeah, I just wanted to underscore the recommendation, because if there is no will or no intention that you've described in a in this way, then almost without really trying to, you've generated the potential conflict you're trying to avoid. So
yeah, and Carol's right about that. There are so many unfortunately family disputes that go on when money is on the horizon.
No will. Yeah.
That is the root of all evil. I think we all can relate to that. Okay, my dear. Take care.
Thank you for your advice. Okay.
Good luck to you. Okay, Steve.
Chuck, Miriam's call and actually the prior caller brought to mind another thing that I think we should stress about mediation versus courthouse lawsuit as a way to resolve disputes. And I try to remind people about this, particularly people who are in relationships. And I think Gabriel was alluding to this, that, you know, the courts are limited. The law is limited to what it can do. It has to fit things into boxes.
Yeah.
Whether it's an amount of money in a judgment or an order that's an injunction. When you're in a mediation, because it is voluntary, you can craft a settlement, a resolution of the real heart of the dispute that a judge might have a hard time. He or she might not be able to give you, even if you win, all the things that you really need. And both of these callers, they really need to consult with, it seemed to me, counsel of the specialties they're in. Or a financial person, as the prior caller's inquiring about. But ultimately, they can craft a resolution of the potential problem before it happens, which is ideal. But even if they were in a lawsuit and even in mediation, you can encourage that the parties go that route.
I think that's a very important point, Gabriel Harrigan, that you know, mediation is the one place where you can have enforceable settlements that are complex and creative. The court will just won't enforce complicated settlements. They, even you know, if you win at trial, you can get money. You really can't. Like there are exceptions, but most of the time you're not going to. You probably wouldn't want your job back by the time you finished a lawsuit that you won.
Oh, sure.
So I mean, what you can do in what can be enforced and what you can get are different things. But in a mediation, you can come to an agreement. Like you can agree to have a certain arrangement at your workplace, at your at your home life. Whereas a court just won't touch that. They want to put a monetary value and have one party write a check and be done with it, because otherwise it's just going to be back in litigation again.
Well, let me tell you again, we're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, June 22nd. If you have a question for my guests on the air, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you have a question for our monthly Call a Lawyer night in the area of workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan will be available this evening until 9 p.m. That's 510-333-3314, 510-333-3314. My other attorneys and the mediator will be here for the next few minutes, and that's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank them, Jeff Hayden for criminal law. Thank Tad Devlin for landlord-tenant. Thank Frank Adam for tax law, real estate. Ron Rohde for patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and Leon Bayer will be available tomorrow, Thursday, June 23rd, from 8 a.m. to noon at 1-800-477-3111. Here is a comment from someone that was brought into the studio. My grandfather passed away several years ago. In his will, he left $14,000 to my father and $7,000 to each of his three sisters. The sisters thought this division was unfair and refused to speak to my father for years when he refused their demand for a more equitable division. He reconciled with them years later, but it was too late. His favorite older sister had died. So what comments do you have with something like this? Any comments at all?
I think it's sad. Yeah. Like it's.
You think what?
It's sad.
And it didn't necessarily have to be that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad that someone would gift money to their children in a way that would actually make the children madder at
each
other.
That's such a shame.
No money at all.
Such a shame.
Some of the most bitter lawsuits I handled in my practice as a lawyer over 38 years was intrafamily disputes.
Oh, yeah.
Where both siblings were sure they were trying to carry out their deceased mother's wishes, for example, and all they did was spend money on lawyers. And it was sad to behold. And but again, what we're talking about in terms of mediation, if you're fortunate enough to pursue that with your counsel or even on your own, is you have an opportunity to avoid that unfortunate outcome of spending a lot of money and not getting much in the way of
satisfaction. Which is a very, very valuable service. Mediation more and more, as I've been doing this program now for 32 years, mediation more and more in the last few years has become much, much more important, and certainly it's terribly valuable. And one of the problems is, of course, the courts are so clogged, at least in California, that you may have a lawsuit, but you may never get to trial for perhaps a year or more, and that doesn't make any sense. So mediation, I certainly have become a believer, and I've been a lawyer for 50 years. I've been a litigator. I've been a deputy DA. And frankly, for those of you who have a problem, I think what my guests are telling you is that think about mediation as early as you can. Don't wait. Don't wait. Like if you have a problem with your next-door neighbor because of the loud music, don't just try to put earplugs in your ears. Try to talk to that person and then see if there is some way that you can have a chance to talk with that person and try to calm him or her down. Again, this is our Call a Lawyer night, and it's 1-800-525-9917 if you have a question or a problem and you'd like to talk with any one of the lawyers, or if you'd like to talk with Michael Marks for mediation. They're all here at this point. So I hope you will take advantage of that. We will not do, by the way, another Call a Lawyer night for another 4 weeks. So if you haven't had a chance to talk to any one of my guests, whether it's in the studio here or over in the conference room, write down what you want to talk about and save it for another 3 weeks or so or 4 weeks, or call your local Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and tell them what the story is. I want to thank the three of you very much for joining me on the air, and Michael Marks, who's been here with us, mediator. Carol Kahn, director of the Alternative Dispute Resolution Program of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Carol, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Gabriel Bellman, attorney mediator. Thanks, Gabriel.
Thank you.
And Steve
Schrei.
Steve Schrei, mediator, arbitrator, attorney. Thank you very much. Next week, by the way, we're going to be talking about California family laws on guardianships for children. My guest will be Deborah Wald, a specialist in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. She's also an adjunct professor at the University of San Francisco School of Law. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr. She keeps us on the air, thank God. And production assistant is Martin McLean. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And the number for the Lawyer Referral and Information Service is 415-989-1616. And if you're looking for a certified specialist, that's 415-538-2100. Additional funding is made by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thanks for listening to the program. Join us next time. I'm Chuck Finney.